Well, good morning.
It's good to see everybody. I was telling Dave last night that so it was my birthday the other day. But anyway, a year or so ago on my near my birthday, something clicked and I now need reading glasses.
So it was like an overnight thing. So here they are. And you'll see those throughout the week. We'll give a second for people to come in the door here. But anyway, my name is John Sueno, and most of you know me, I believe. I'm Dave and Sharon's son-in-law, and glad to be here. Glad to have an opportunity to look into the scriptures with you this morning. And as Dave and I were talking earlier this week, we're talking about what to look into this morning, and he had brought up the idea of looking into faith. And faith is one of those terms that we use often. We often talk about our faith, and as we read through the scriptures, we see that word often. And as you look in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that word a lot. And this is a good place to look to find out a little bit about what faith is. So up on the screen there is we have Hebrews 11 at verse 6. Says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. While we think about that and kind of roll that verse around in our minds, something I'm accustomed to doing is getting started with a word of prayer. So let's do that, before we jump, both feet into this lesson. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we're thankful for this time and this opportunity and this group of people that are eager to look into your word. We're thankful for your word and that we might cherish it, that we might put it into our hearts, that we might not sin against you. We pray that as we delve into the scriptures this morning that we would come away with a better understanding, that we would come away with a desire to share the truth with others. We're thankful again for the safety of our travels yet this day, and we pray for those that are perhaps yet traveling to be with us. We pray that they would have safety. We pray that as we endeavor to look into your word and to a little bit later worship you in spirit and in truth, that we'd be pleasing in your sight. We're thankful for all things. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I think I forgot to turn my microphone on, so let's do that. I'm not used to all this fancy stuff with the lavaliers and stuff. But anyways, so just to start out, speaking of faith, what is faith? What comes to your mind when you think of faith? Go ahead and yell it out if you have something in your head.
Well, Chris, when you see God, you step out on faith. I don't know if you're going to make it, but you're going to go for God sent you.
Okay.
Like when the brothers went to Jesus, stepped out on faith and found Jesus.
Okay.
Like when God said to go to a ministry and go serve, you don't know which ministry he called you to. But he sees you out there and he witnesses you being brought and God brings you light and he has done good. And that's why he said he would reward it, how he rewards you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we have uncertainty in our lives, you know, it is our faith that carries us through. We might not see what's coming. We might not see what's going to come about in a situation, but our faith in the Lord it carries us through those things. I think you have that right. And as we delve a little bit deeper into this thought process of what is faith. You know, it is, of course, as the scriptures say, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, is that, as we look around us and look around us in the world, there's a whole lot of things that can steal away our hope, can take away our hope if we put ourselves into those things. I mean, we just came through a period of time in this in this country, you know, over the past several years, but just recently we came through a time where there's people that are putting their hope in things that are of an earthly nature, and yet it is very easily taking away the hope that they have in this life, because things don't go perhaps the way that the way that they want it to go. And so sometimes we confuse, I think, this idea of faith for something else. And so that's kind of what we kind of want to look at here this morning. So is the best way that I can think of to talk about the subject and about any subject is to look to the scriptures and find examples, because we understand that the scriptures are there for our learning, and that everything that pertains to life and godliness is contained within the scriptures. So if we need some counsel, if we need some wisdom, if we need some understanding about something, if we go to the scriptures, we'll find something to help us through a time. And Abraham is one who certainly exhibited great faith. And while we're trying to nail down an exact definition or a good definition of what faith is, when we look at Abraham, we have a great example. Let's go back over to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Move over to the book of Acts, chapter 7. I'm going to put a marker here over here in Hebrews to expedite things. But chapter 7 and at verse 2, beginning, and he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell." You know, the key idea here that we want to look at is in verse 3, "Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you." So, how many of us would be comfortable with the idea of someone coming to us and saying, "Leave your family behind, get out of the place that you're comfortable with, and go somewhere else"? Now, perhaps some of us have done that, to some degree. But how, putting our minds on the decision that Abraham had at that time to get out of the place that he was used to, how does that, as we look at that example and we know that Abraham did just that, how does that speak to what faith?
People who are evacuated because of tornadoes or hurricanes, and they say, "You gotta get out." And some of them pick up and go, and some say, "No, I'm not going. I'm just gonna stay right here. I have faith that I'll be okay." But, you know, that's kind of how it pertains to.
And interestingly, along that line, you know, why? What would get somebody to get out in a situation like that? There's a hurricane coming. You know, what would facilitate that that getting out in a person's mind? What do you think? Well, danger. You know that, or you're being told anyway. You're being told that there's something coming that's going to hurt you, or could very likely hurt you. And so that would be your motivation. And, you know, when in the scriptures, when we find that the Lord tells people to do things, you know, I think we can probably think of Noah. And what did God tell Noah about what was coming? You know, it was a lot bigger than a hurricane. And, that was something that had never even happened before. You know, the idea of a flood, the idea of rain for that matter, had never even crossed anybody's mind. And here God is telling him, not only do I want you to leave, but I want you to build this boat, and I want you to take your family on it. And just imagine the ridicule and the things that he and his family would have had to endure because of that decision. We do have some indication, but do you think that people in Noah's time were difficult, were hard on him?
We always talk about Noah, you know, being faithful, but what about his wife and his sons and his daughters? You know, they're like, you know, Noah says, "Hey, God told me," and they're like, "Okay, right."
Right.
You know, so
yeah. Right. And you think of Job's wife also. I mean, I get to your point. I get it. But it also thinking about, you know, you have family that you have to deal with. What did Job's wife tell him, you know, when things were going rough? You know, curse God and die. Sometimes that support is not there. Just thinking, it's kind of a comical off subject, I guess, but you know, last night Angela and I were trying to figure out where we were going to go to get a bite to eat for dinner. And I can only imagine what it would have been like if I said, just have faith, I'm going to pick a place and take her to the hamburger station. And she would have protested, as such. So when you have those times, but when you have something, when you're struggling to be faithful, and when you're using your faith, you're leaning on your faith in order to get you through a difficult time, yeah, sometimes the people around us they can be helpful or they can be a hindrance. You had your hand going.
Yes, when I was thinking, God lead us by spiritual, back in the day, he got up through his time and his heart was hot. And he said, you saw the speaking quickly here, and God talked to you and see a voice in your ear, and he meditated to hear him, and then he got to write in the fruit of the Spirit. So that's how he lead me to the Spirit, through the Spirit, what I learned in the Bible. And he takes his time with me, with teaching me and learning, teaching me how to love.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm doing, God. That's how I'm still going. But sometimes I fall short. I cry out to God, and God, yes, sometimes he only chastises me, but he's gonna work out for your good, and he's gonna be still prosperous, and he's gonna grow more and more fruit. And he pluck off what's bad, and keep you from you, as you become that woman of God, and he stands up to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have a great point there. It's in the Word. You know, God leads us through the Word. I've often said it, and I'm not smart enough to figure out how, but I truly believe that the Bible, the Word of God, is different. It's powerful as we read in the Scriptures, but it's different than any other book. Is there anybody in here that likes to read books, just as a
novels?
Yeah, novels and just any kind of books. I am not one of those to a great degree. If something piques my interest, I'll look into it. But the thing that I noticed about the Scriptures is that the more that you study them, the more interesting, the more it grabs a hold of your thoughts, the more you see things that you never did before. In fact, on the way here, Angela was mentioning that there was something that came up in Bible study recently, at Medina, and there was something that was mentioned by one of the brethren that is right there in the Scriptures. But in all these years, you know, Angela has been a Christian for many years and well studied. She helps me a lot in my studies. And she said, I never realized this. I never caught that before, but here we are all these years later, and there's something new to be taken from the Scripture that has been read probably thousands of times. And that is, there's something special there. There's something there, the more that we put that into us, the more faith, you know, we'll get. And that's biblical. And can anybody think of where that might be?
Faith comes by hearing, wrong between
it. Yeah, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that is, That is absolutely the truth. as we get back to our friend Abraham here, you know, Christ spoke of this surrendering faith as well, like we see with Abraham. Let's go back over to the book of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 10 and at verse 32. Matthew 10 at verse 32 says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." So as we think about that in light of what we're talking about, when you think of, you know, Abraham had a faith that, he listened to God, maybe in the face of perhaps what other people might have said. Can you think of an instance in Abraham's life where perhaps something was going on that perhaps his family wasn't totally in line with the same path that he was on?
By the burning bush.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The son of God, Abraham spoke to him.
And even earlier than that, the whole idea of having a son. You know, Sarah wasn't exactly on board with God's timeline. And Abraham kind of sort of gave into that a little bit. And that's something that, we think of. But nonetheless, as we continue to think about this, there's a necessity in the scriptures. You can't miss it. There's a necessity for action in faith. Faith isn't just a mental assent of "I believe in God." I think sometimes there's a in order to have faith, you have to have belief. But it doesn't stop at belief. You know, what does the scripture say even about the demons? You know, they believe and tremble. So faith is something that requires an action on those things that we know and understand and believe. And so that's something that we have to mull around in our minds as we think about what faith is. You know, we move on and talk a little bit more about Abraham. You know, he surrendered his will. Going back over to Hebrews chapter 11. Going back over to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at verse 8 beginning. And says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." So there, you know, even as our previous point, we see that, Sarah did have, faith, and she understood who God is, but there again, we see in action, we see perhaps some faltering along the way, and it's just a good lesson for us that when we, when we're walking daily in our faith and our understanding of the scriptures, and as we are trying to have a stronger faith and looking into the scriptures every day, when we get those times where we feel beat down, where we don't feel like things are going well, we need to remember that these people that we read about in the scriptures were faithful, and yet they had some of the same, perhaps disconnections, if you will, with what, you know, they're trying to exercise common sense, because Sarah's issues with this idea of conceiving a child, that made, she was logically thinking, wasn't she? You know, in that this is going to be impossible. I'm too old. You know, this is not going to happen. But that gets a little bit deeper into what faith is. It doesn't necessarily, faith is that understanding of things that might not necessarily make sense. It might not be something that we see as an absolute, that this is going to happen and this makes sense. And, you know, sometimes it's not what we want. Maybe it's not what we think can happen. And so, you know, Abraham obeyed in the face of all those things that were going on in his life. He obeyed. And that again goes with that same idea. You know, back in verse 7 of the same chapter, you know, we read again about Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. You know, so that idea of moving with godly fear, there's that action that follows through with faith. You know, if we go around the country, even though sometimes it seems like you'd get another answer, but what do you think? If you went around the country and asked people, do you believe in God? Do you think most people would say yes? I think that's still true. I think that's still true that at least in the United States and perhaps through the world, that, you know, that people would say that yes, there's a God. Now, their understanding of Him and how He works and so on might be skewed, but why do you think it is that most people throughout history, and I would say even today, believe that there is a God?
Well, in Romans, Paul talks about the conscience of man. You know, we are conscious of something that's beyond us. You know, we were that's inherent within our thinking.
He created us with that kind of understanding or desire to know. But what else, you know, more practically, what can we look at that tells us that there's a God? If we're honest.
The world around us.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look at, the structures of everything around us, I mean, we're told in the scriptures that the things which are seen are made from things that are not seen. You know, what's the smallest particle that we know of now in science? I'm not a scientist, and so I could be wrong, so feel free to Google it, but I think it's a quark. I think that's the smallest particle known to man. I'm looking at Anderson because he probably has a quark. It's a tiny particle, that makes up matter. And,
oh,
right. And that was something that has been discovered in my lifetime. Like I remember that being talked about years ago. And whatever it is, it is my belief that there are smaller things that everything is made out of that we can't see, because we're told there in the scriptures. And how deep you want to take that idea, that sometimes I do that. Sometimes I sit and think about these things that are of no eternal consequence, but I kind of like to think about those ideas that, of just how intricate the creation is. And when we look around us and we see that the seasons come and the seasons go just like the scriptures tell us that they will, and that we have, you know, rain that helps our crops and so on, we have, if you've ever looked at even a plant cell under a microscope and see all the little things moving around in there and doing what they do. Back in high school, I had to learn all the different parts of a cell, of both animal and plant cells, and I can't recite that to you now. It's been too long. But there's so much going on there. There's so much going on there that we can't see. And I remember one of my college professors that I went to a college that claimed to be Christ-centered. And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, one of my professors in biology, you know, he said the thing that really got him to start thinking about God was that when he started out in school, being of an atheist mind, he started to look at the things that were in front of him in his classes and so on, and said, this is just too intricate. This is not chance. This didn't happen out of nowhere. And so that started him down that path to look for and to seek some more knowledge about that. And
God had to reveal themselves to that person because they feel in the spirit, but they got no understanding that they didn't read in that Bible.
And that's what took him to the scriptures, was that
God had to call all our lives. Sometimes our parents, either Christian or birth, we go, our parents stop going.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the kids stop going, they were worldly. So that way, when your sisters and brothers, other cousins, other people bring you to the service, pray for your friends, and pray for you, and God to open up their eyes, and know that you always have a cousin, like I told my cousin, you have a cousin who want to pray, and he tell me, came to me like that, and now he see and understands to keep God first. I read this guy. He already know how to read the Bible, and he didn't take him a little time. But I told him, go to your uncle.
Mm-hmm.
They know. They want to talk to me. They can't do it. They not growing.
Right.
We understand.
And God is evident around us in creation. And if we just look at it honestly, and we kind of take out all those things that have been fed into our minds, there's a preacher that I heard some time ago, and some of you might have heard this from him, but I can't remember who it was even. Maybe some of you, this will spark your memory. But I remember in a sermon hearing that you have to have help to think that way. And we have a lot of help to think certain ways in our society and in our world, and always have since the fall of mankind. And, you know, you have to have help to look outside and see the wonder of creation and think, well, this just happened by chance. And, you know, the logical thing, the logical understanding would be to look at that and say, there's something bigger here than me. There's something bigger here than just what we think we know. And that's a big part of faith, is getting the things that we think we know out of our mind and letting ourselves learn and understand from the scriptures a bit more about God and His power. You know, Abraham surrendered his will again, and it wasn't by force, but it was by faith. You know, when we look at this idea of Abraham moving from the place that he knew, or even to substitute in Noah and what happened with him, they weren't forced. You know, if Noah had decided that he wasn't going to build a silly boat, you know, what then would have happened? Do you think God would have said, "No, I'm going to force you to. You're going to be my robot boat builder"? You know, that would be against everything that we understand is true about the Lord. He asks his people, and his faithful people say yes. Here am I. And so we have Abraham understanding who the Lord is and being willing to be spent for him. And then we talk about Isaac, of course, the son of promise. And as we look a little further there, verse 17, going down to verse 17 in Hebrews 11, we have, again, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You know, as we think about that, you know, what is striking about Abraham's attitude, about Abraham's faith, here? There's something in there that kind of jumps out and bites me in the nose, in thinking about this. You know, he, in verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You know, he understood what had happened. He understood that God brought forth this son who was promised to him from Sarah and himself at such an old age, and they were as good as dead. They were very old and past that time. And yet he brought him forth, and there he was. And so Abraham, having a good understanding of who the Lord is and his power, having that faith, said, you know what, if the Lord tells me to do this, then I know everything's going to be okay. And I know that if the Lord brought him to me to begin with, the Lord's going to bring him back and is able to. And so those are things that when we start to think of faith, that really we're starting to get to the heart of what faith is, that it's more than just, oh yeah, I believe there's a God. And that's where, again, most of the religious world, they go there. And you have to have belief in order to come to the knowledge of truth. You have to believe that he is, but then it requires something more. And faith is that vehicle, or that fuel for the vehicle, if you will, that we have to have. Now, Abraham immediately obeyed God. And as we let's go back to Genesis chapter 22 and look just a little bit more here. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 3 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And we know that he was going there to offer up Isaac, as he has been told. And as we remember and understand, you know, what happened then, how far did Abraham get in this plan, or in carrying out God's will? Yeah, in verse 11, verse 10 of Genesis 22, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So he's got the knife in his hand, he stretched his arm out, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And that speaks volumes in itself, that he said, here I am. And he's willing to listen. And there's a lesson in that. And verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And that there is faith. He understood that the Lord had given his son, and the Lord, if he desired to take him away, could bring him back. He understood that the Lord would provide no matter what the situation is. And here we have exactly that happening in this account. I asked Dave earlier, what time should I stop? And he said, I don't know. So Sharon, what time should I stop? 9:40? Okay, so we're just a couple minutes out here. So I have these slides, and I don't think that we're gonna get through them, obviously. It was my plan to hopefully have more information than needed for the time, so that's good. So as we think about faith, then we have to, as we start to now have a picture of what faith is, then we want to talk a little bit about faithfulness. And in your own studies this week, because we obviously won't be able to do justice to this thought completely, but continue to read and study and think about faith in the coming days. But faithfulness requires remembering the way. And Psalm 1 is a place that you can go to think about that a little bit. We have to remember the way. And how is it that we would expect to remember the way? How do we know the way to the Lord? Yeah. In Psalm chapter 1, Psalm 1, there it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Now thinking about the chaff that shall be blown away with the wind, why is the chaff so readily blown away? There's no root. Yeah. There's nothing holding it down. And it's of no consequence. It just blows around. So part of this idea of faith and being faithful means that you have some root, you have some grounding, you have something to hold you secure in your place in the Lord. So that's, those are some of my thoughts on those things. And again, faith is such a big issue that there's no way you can cover it, perhaps in a lifetime. So continue to try to study and to look into those things and strive to be faithful each and every day.